What's up, gamers, and welcome to Lost at Sea Gaming. It is a brand new week, which means a brand new Captain's Quarters is coming your way, and I am super stoked to be able to talk to you guys about this week's topics. So without wasting any more time, let's just dive right in to my news catch of the week. All right, guys, so this week I got two different topics I want to talk to you about on Catch of the Week. The first one of those is going to be a rumor, and it's going to be involving, guess what? The Resident Evil franchise. Yes, yet another rumor involving that franchise that I just cannot stop talking about, seemingly, these last few weeks. This one now is in reference to the Resident Evil 4 remake that may be coming. And I say may, yes, if you've seen this article, it does say Capcom confirms there is a Resident Evil 4 remake on the way. But I don't know. I don't know if you guys have seen that the internet wasn't 100% behind this decision. So here's my thing, and a lot of people were saying this online. Resident Evil 4 was a masterpiece. It really was. I mean, it took the series in a whole new direction. It revitalized people's interest in the series. It actually influenced the entire gaming landscape with its over-the-shoulder viewpoint. It just did so many different things, and it still holds up well today. Personally, you know, I played it over a couple of generations. I played it on the GameCube when it first came out. I played the Wii version when it came out. There's now a HD remaster that's been around. I mean, there's been so many versions, guys, over the years. You know, my thing is, do we really need a full-fledged remake of this game? Now, would I like to see it with the graphics and the crazy, amazing production budget of these newer games? Yeah, definitely. But at the same time, I'll be 100% honest. I think you guys, if you've listened to my previous episodes before, you'll know that my preference for the next Resident Evil remake is, hands down, Code Veronica. Absolutely loved Code Veronica, one of my favorites. I actually like Code Veronica and have a softer place in my heart for it than I do Resident Evil 4. And I would think that based on the older style of Resident Evil gameplay, as well as the look of the game and the series, I feel like Code Veronica is the one that would benefit the most from a remake as opposed to Resident Evil 4. Maybe that's my personal opinion. Maybe you guys don't agree with me. Hopefully you will let me know by hitting me up on social media and or via email. But as I said, Capcom did say that, yeah, you know, hey, it is confirmed. We are in the process of doing a Resident Evil 4 remake. So we'll see what happens with that. You know, definitely best believe I will still be playing it. I will be all over it, but I would much prefer a Code Veronica remake. And hopefully with the internet letting Capcom know, hey, look guys, going from 2 remake, 3 remake, we were kind of expecting and hoping Code Veronica remake, not 4. Come on now. So let's see what happens. I know I can't wait to see. I want both, but preferably Code Veronica first. So that was the rumor for this week. But as far as news and its factual statements, let's talk about the PS5 for a few minutes. So the PS5, it's been a lot on the internet recently. They've been talking about the fact that there is more than likely going to be lower available quantities at launch. Now, there's a few reasons why they're saying that this may in fact come to fruition. The biggest reason is because Sony is really nervous about the adoption rate of the PS5 because of what they're thinking the price is going to have to be for them to not just dig themselves a 6-foot hole with every console that's purchased by someone. The suggested price or the rumored price is looking to be anywhere from $5 to $550 right now, US dollars. And, you know, while that may be kind of expected, especially if you look at the Xbox One X, when it launched a couple years ago, it launched at $500. So, you know, my point is, the bottom line, you're going to have to expect when you're going into this next generation, these consoles are going to be expensive, right? But they're worried, and I get it from a business standpoint, they don't want to lose excessive amounts of money with each console. So due to the fact that they feel the adoption rate's going to be low because of people's apprehension on price, because of the coronavirus situation and how it's affected people's pocketbooks and different things. There may not be as many people who are available to purchase a PS5 at launch for that price. So they're estimating about 2 million consoles fewer available during the launch period from what is presumed to be November of 2020 to March of 2021 than there were on the PS4 launch period of November to March. So we'll see what happens there. You know, obviously it'll affect those first few months' sales numbers. But, you know, we'll see what happens. I'm sure they'll still sell plenty of consoles. Personally, I really think that at the end of the day, you know, gamers, if there's some solid games to be had, you know, we'll find a way. I feel like we usually find a way. Now, I'm not trying to speak as Sony did all those years ago at the PS3 launch reveal and say, hey, our system's $600. You know, gamers, we're not changing nothing. We don't care. They'll stop buying lunch to be able to pay and save up for our console. That is not what I'm saying here. I'm just saying that I feel that you guys might want to make sure as soon as they put out pre-orders, if that's something that you definitely want to do in purchasing a PS5, you might want to jump on it. Xbox Series X, Microsoft really doesn't seem to be worried too much at all about the launch as far as quantities available at launch, launch being delayed, any of that. So if you're waiting for a Series X, I don't know that you have too much to worry about as of right now, unless they're just saving face, which I guess it'll all come to light here pretty soon, probably in the next few months. But guys, that'll do it. That's my review of this past week's news, my favorite news topic, as well as rumor that jumped out at me this past week. So next, let's take a look at what I've been playing this last week in my captain's log. All right, guys, so if you've been listening to me for the last few weeks, you know that I have been very much so wanting to get back to NBA 2K20. So if you haven't listened to any of my previous episodes, here's a quick rundown. So I've been playing the My Career mode in NBA 2K20 since the game launched last September. And the My Career mode is basically where you create a guy and then you play through a season or a career of NBA. And basically what you do, you start out in college, you make your way into a basketball team in the NBA, and then you work your way through a career, earning sponsorships, gaining fans. You're able to create your own shoe at one point. You get on the cover of the next NBA 2K game. All kinds of really awesome things, right? You continuously upgrade your guy as you're earning points, and you can use those towards attributes to fully flesh out your guy. Very detailed, very enjoyable. Absolutely have loved the game over these past 6 months or so. And so I had played a lot of it to where I got to the playoffs. And here recently, I got all the way to the playoffs. So if you don't know how the playoffs are broken down in the NBA, you have the quarterfinals that you start out with. Then you have the semifinals. Then you have the conference finals. And then you have the NBA finals to find out who the champion of the NBA is for that season. Now, each season and each series consists of a best of seven game series. So you have to play a maximum of seven games. Whoever wins four games first wins the series. So just to kind of give you a quick breakdown, my first series, I started out playing against the Atlanta Hawks. I swept them. Won all four games back to back to back to back. Second game series, I played the Celtics, the Boston Celtics. I lost one of those, but I won the other four. So, you know, went five games, right? So then I go into the next series, which was against the Brooklyn Nets, the semifinals. This is determining who goes to the NBA Finals and who is the Eastern Conference champions. I am the Philadelphia 76ers, and I am vying for that Eastern Conference championship and the opportunity to play in the NBA Finals. So bottom line is, up until these last few days and this past week, I had played the first two games of the series. One game was in Brooklyn, you know, starting out, and then the next game. Well, actually, both games were in Brooklyn on that first two games of the series, and I won one, and I lost one. So the series was split, 1-1. So the third game in the series, that was going to be, and the fourth game, in Philly. So I'm looking at it, and I'm like, all right, I got to win these two, home court advantage, got to get the crowd, give them what they came for, and support the city, right? Well, I finally get back to NBA 2K20 after not playing it for about a month or so, and I go to play this game, and I got to admit, I'm kind of nervous because I haven't played in a while, so I'm worried that my skill set is not going to be where it needs to be successful, and the importance of this game in this series in the playoffs. It's one thing if I'm playing an 80-game series or season, and I lose a game, okay, fine. You know, I'll bounce back and win the next couple, and it's okay. I'll take it on the chin. But if I'm in the playoffs, I don't really want to lose too many games. So either way, I was kind of nervous. I started off doing okay in that game, guys, but then I ended up losing, and they pulled away from me in the third quarter, and I could never recover from it. They ended up beating me in game three. Pulled ahead in the series 2-1. All right, fine. Go to the next game. I end up winning that game. Awesome. Series is tied 2-2 again. Okay. So we go to the next game, which is game five. That game is in Brooklyn. I'm playing this game. It is an insanely hard-fought game, guys. Tooth and nail, hardcore in-your-face defense, purposeful shots on offense, making every shot trying to count. And I ended up pulling away with the win. So I was like, all right, yes, I pulled away. I'm up in the series 3-2. So then we go and we have the next game, and it was perfect because the next game was in Philly. So if I won the next game, I won the series, and it would be awesome to win that in front of the home crowd, right? So anyways, I'm playing this game. I'm actually at certain points almost 21 points ahead of them. Man, guys, I lost it, man. They got on a run and they ended up getting within a couple points. They ended up going ahead of me, and then we were trading the lead back and forth. It came down to the last shot, guys. I won this game by 1 point. 1 point. So it was absolutely nail-biting for me, but I actually pulled it off, won the Eastern Conference Championship, and I am on my way to the NBA Finals, which, surprise, surprise, the game, the computer, it simulated the Western Conference playoffs, and I'm going to be facing the Golden State Warriors in the NBA Finals. So I'll keep you guys updated on how that goes. Hopefully over the course of the next week, I have enough time to be able to play through and complete that season, that first season of my career in NBA 2K20. Absolutely loving what I've been doing with it. Next, the other game I played this past week was Moons of Madness. And if you guys haven't heard of it, it's a psychological horror game that's set on Mars. And you are a scientist who's part of a team who has set up a base there on Mars, and you're doing different agricultural studies, trying to see if different plant life from Earth can be sustainable on Mars, as well as looking for any signs of water or any kind of life on Mars as you are there. So as things continue to progress, obviously everything goes wrong. All kinds of crazy stuff starts happening. And I've enjoyed it so far. I will say there's been some very frustrating moments for me with some of the puzzles, some of the sequences. It's essentially a first-person viewpoint walking simulator. You mostly are exploring the base. You do go out on the surface of Mars for a few different instances, and you have to kind of manage your oxygen and different things. But for the most part, you're really just kind of solving puzzles, exploring, reading documents, and just going from point A to B. But it may not sound like much, but I do enjoy it. But there are some opportunities there. I don't want to get too much in the weeds on it, and this, I will save that for my review, which will probably be coming at some point soon. So that'll do it for this week's Captain's Log. Now let's see what kind of gaming tips I have for you guys in this week's Buried Treasure. All right, guys, so this week's Buried Treasure is a little bit different in the fact that it's actually a tip that's coming from my wife, and it's on an older game. So I will say that to preface. Lego Marvel Super Heroes. So if you've ever played the Lego games, you know they're a lot of fun. But you also know that they are very, very lengthy if you're trying to do everything that the games have to offer. There's red bricks. There's gold bricks. There's 250 of them. You know, there's all kinds of different collectibles. And you have to play through all the levels a million times with all the characters to be able to unlock everything. Very time-consuming games, right? But they're fun, for the most part, after the first 20 hours or so. but regardless, my wife has been recently playing Lego Marvel Super Heroes. So she informed me of a situation that she encountered the other day, and I want to make sure to put this out there to you guys in case you were ever planning on trying out the game, or maybe you just picked it up. I mean, it was just recently on sale on the PlayStation Spring Sale, as well as on some of the sales that Xbox has had. So it's always on sale. You might end up picking it up, so this might help you out. I know I personally would love to have this information. So basically what happens is, do not ever save and quit. So if you save and quit, what happened to my wife, in this moment, you end up, when you go back to reload the game, your save file is gone. And what you end up having to do is pretty much doing a reboot of the system, the console itself, possibly uninstalling and reinstalling the game. And then when you finally do recover your save and you load it back up, guess what? Whatever progress you had made from loading it up and then getting to that point where you saved and quit, you've lost that progress. So say you boot up your Xbox, you load up Lego Marvel Super Heroes, you play it for an hour or two, you play through a couple missions, you save and quit. Those two missions that you've completed, if you have this issue and this glitch, when you finally get your save recovered, that progress is no longer there. So you're going to have to replay through the two missions that you had previously played through. And that means all your collectibles and everything else that you did throughout those missions, obviously, you're going to have to do them again. So really, really sucks. So bottom line is, I know that that would be an extremely frustrating thing to happen to me if I was playing the game. So I was very grateful for her to make me aware of that, because even though it's an older game, I had no idea. So just FYI for you guys out there, if you are planning on purchasing or have recently purchased or are going to play the game, please do not save and quit, because for whatever reason, Telltale has still not fixed that glitch, and it will seriously put a damper on your day. So now we'll move on to my Captain's Decree of the Week. All right, guys. So this week I'm going to put out there, this is what I feel are my most wanted launch games on the Xbox Series X and the PlayStation 5. These are the games that I'm just like, oh man, I really, really think that these would just drive me to GameStop or wherever it is that I want to get this console from, and I just got to have this console. These are the games that for me personally are really, really going to drive that desire for this new console. And if you guys, I would love to hear what games you want at launch and what your top favorite games would be or suggestions would be for the launch games of these consoles coming later this year. So I'll start with the PlayStation 5. Guys, one of my favorite PlayStation 4 games was Horizon Zero Dawn. And if you never played that game, before the PS5 comes out, you owe it to yourselves if you have a PS4 to get on it. It is an absolutely phenomenal game, beautiful graphics, amazing story, absolutely phenomenal gameplay, just all around an absolutely amazing experience. Can't recommend it enough. If Sony came out and said, we're launching the PS5 with Horizon Zero Dawn 2, oh my God. With the power and the capabilities of the PS5 and what it already looked like on PS4 with the first game, oh man. Plus, I just love the lore and everything that went into that game, the first one, and I want a sequel. So at this point, that would be an absolutely phenomenal, phenomenal launch title for the PS5 for me. Now, the next game that I would just have to have at PS5's launch, God of War 2. I mean, God of War, the soft reboot, so to speak, that came out just about 2 years ago now. Man, what a phenomenal experience. I got to tell you, as much as I love the original God of Wars, this is probably my preferred method of experiencing Kratos' story, just because of the depth of the story and the content and the amazingness of the graphics and the using of Atreus in combination with Kratos. I mean, it was just an absolutely phenomenal gaming experience that I want to continue to experience, not to mention the way that they left that game, the cliffhanger they left it on. Whew, I can't wait to pick it up. Again, thinking of what it could look like and play like on a PS5. So my third title that I would just, I gotta have, to be honest with you guys, it really surprised me that I liked this game. Not that I liked it as much as I did, because I knew I was probably gonna like it, but I think it would be amazing if they came out with a Spider-Man 2. If they had Spider-Man 2 at launch with these other two titles, I mean, I tell you, man, I mean, what else other reason is there to do anything else but play some PS5 for a month? Spider-Man, the original on PS4, was an awesome, amazing experience, and I absolutely loved it. Loved the character of Spider-Man, and I just think that with what they set as far as the template with the first game, gameplay and the web swinging and all these different kinds of things, plus if you've seen any rumors online about what the potential of a second game could be as far as setting, story, villains involved, I just think it would be an awesome, awesome experience to be able to live that right out the gate on a PS5 with its capabilities and its processing powers again, and just seeing what they could do with it. So I got to tell you, all three of those console exclusives, amazing day one possibilities right there. So that would be my top three PS5 launch titles that I'm most anticipating. And again, I would love to hear what your guys' options are as well. So for the Series X, speaking of some Xbox exclusives here, my first one for me is a game that I've been wanting for years, and that is Fable 4. Guys, I love the Fable franchise. Fables 1, 2, and 3, some of my favorite games. To be honest with you, I know it's very controversial. Fable 3 was my favorite out of all three. I know a lot of people said 2 was the best and didn't like 3 as much. I loved 3. I loved 2 as well, don't get me wrong. But 3, I just loved it. It was something about being a king and running a kingdom. And I don't know, just the gameplay and everything involved in it. I just want a new Fable. They've been teasing Fable 4 for years, and they give us stuff like Fable Heroes and, you know, different things like that, a Kinect-enabled game. You know, it's, come on, guys, just stop pussyfooting around and give us Fable 4. Or it doesn't have to be Fable 4. It could just be Fable and just be in that universe of Albion and the gameplay and the humor and everything that makes Fable so great. So I would love Fable 4, however it comes. Next, this would be phenomenal for me, is a brand new classic style in the vein of the Nintendo 64 games, a new Banjo-Kazooie. I absolutely loved Banjo-Kazooie and Banjo-Tooie on the Nintendo 64 back in the day. Me and my sister used to tear it up on that 64 between those two games. Man, I would love to have an actual like Banjo 3E, if you will. I do not consider Nuts and Bolts, Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts, to be like a third Banjo game, because that was just not what I was looking for from a Banjo game. I'm sorry, guys. I don't know how you feel, but that was just not it. I want like the classic style 3D platformer focused on puzzles, exploration of 3D worlds, collectibles, hidden items, you name it. It's all there. That's what I want. Start out the gate with a new, you know, another mascot style kind of game. Hey, look, we're paying homage to classic gameplay right out the gate. Here's Xbox. Here's Banjo-Kazooie. We got you covered. I would love it. And then the third title that I would love to see on the launch of the Series X is whatever new game The Initiative is working on. Now, for those of you that may not know, The Initiative is a development studio that Microsoft created that is kind of like an amalgam of all these different amazing developers from, you know, the newer Tomb Raider developer studios, the God of War Santa Monica, Sony Santa Monica Studios. I mean, it's just like, you know, people from Ubisoft and Assassin's Creed series, like all these amazing people who have collectively done some of my favorite games are all working together on a project right now at Microsoft as an exclusive title for the Xbox. So whatever they're able to come up with, I have faith that it will be pretty amazing. So I can't wait to see what they're working on. And if it was something that they had ready to go for launch this year for the Series X, that would be phenomenal. So that would be my top three Xbox Series X launch games that I would most be looking forward to. So again, guys, email me, Instagram me, whatever you want to do. I would love to hear what you guys are most anticipating. So that'll do it for this week's Captain's Quarters. I hope you guys enjoyed your time aboard the SS Gamer this week, and I would love to hear feedback from you. So join the crew by reaching out to me via email at lostatseagaming@gmail.com or on social media on Instagram at lostatseagaming and on Twitter at lostatseagaming1. Now, until the sea says otherwise, we'll keep sailing.